Shalom, shalom, shalom. You know, with everything that's been going on here lately, we should have learned enough to have our eyes wide open to see what's going on. Everything we've heard and learned and seen, it should be starting to sink in by this time. I know it's sinking in for me. I mean, since we've become grafted in to Israel, and we started learning the history, the context, and the language, and understand who we are. I was reminded again today, I'm always reminded of the foreigner, the captured woman, the enemy, when she came in, and if she was desired to be married by one of the Israelites, she had to change completely. She had to basically just die and start all over again. Her hair had to go, her nails had to go, everything that she was to be stripped. And I'm sure she had a memory just like you and I have, and she had family, parents, a mom, dad that she was born from. But all that had to be put away as a foreigner to Israel, and she had to abide underneath those rules, those set of rules. And just like we learned, you have to dispossess to possess. She had no choice. She had to strip herself. She had to basically be born again. And that's what we become. We were Gentiles. We were lost. We were those that were like the beast, the ones that, I forget the word for it, but those ones that just wouldn't submit to rules, didn't like rules. Gentiles, lost in the world. And just like that woman, we've been grafted in. And we had to be grafted into his set of rules. And his set of rules brings life. And in this Torah portion, Vezot HaBakar, the HaBakar part, when I was reading into it, we got back to the part, you know, Yehovah extends himself and his in Vezot HaBakar. The Barak part was the bait and the resh. If I'm not mistaken, it's the ket or it's the kaf. It's the hand, kaf, right? It's the kaf, it's the hand. So it's his hand of extension. And so he's given us his hand of extension. He's given us his living Torah, the instructions for life. His instructions to us is for our life. It's for our own good. He's extended everything he can extend. He's extended his son. His son gave his life for us and shed his blood for us, so we're going to have a brand new start in life. And you can't add to it, and you can't take from it. And that's what's been happening through the years, is it's been added to, and it's been taken from. And you can't add to it, and you can't take from it. You know, through the Sukkot, was talking about, Sister Becky brought up a good point about the tents. Because I remember that. I didn't remember it until she brought it up, talking about the tents. She said it was noisy outside. It was hard to sleep inside. And I remembered those things. I remember laying in my tent and thinking about that tent being like me. I'm fragile. I got things that I think of, the noise on the outside, the noise. And Casey, she comes in, she's like, man, them things are flapping. Them things are flapping, Daddy. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I'm staying up. And I just lay there and say, Father, I'm gonna rest in you. And the flapping would go away. And it's the same thing. It's a great analogy of what we do in our flesh and with our bodies. The noise, the noise, the noise. You stay in me. And I'll stay in you, have shalom through it all. And we're going to have to learn that. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, it won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And through this whole ordeal, after learning everything we've learned, and think about it, from Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, then through Sukkot in the eighth day, we've had 9 Torah portions. 9 Torah portions. We've learned all what happened in the wilderness. We learned in Kev, talking about the cause and effect. Because you do this, this is what's going to happen. And if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And we had great examples of those who just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And many, many died because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey the commands. And today, from history all the way back to today, from what we see Israel And we see many, many, many around the world that have attitude. And they say, Yah's with you. God's going to protect you. But he's not going to change for somebody else. We have to take his word serious and keep his word and quit adding to it and quit taking from it. And that's what Yeshua came to do. He came to fix what was added to it and put back what was taken away from it and put it right where it needs to be. What kind of line? The plumb line. Call it the plumb line. We got to stay in the plumb line. You step out the plumb line just a little bitty bit. They were warned over and over. Even what's going on right now, they was warned, you can't give the enemy a little bit. You can't take on not one little trinket of what they had. You can't act like them. You can't talk like them. All that they do is it leads to death. It never leads to life. It always leads to death. And they will not reason with you. And if you start acting like them, you'll be just like them, and you won't be able to reason with them either. You'll be just like them. And that's what I find in here. On the enemy side, if you take up just a little bit of the enemy, before you know it, what you behold is what you're going to become, and you'll become just like them, unreasoning beasts. Just a little seed, and you let it grow and get root in your life, you'll be an unreasoning beast just like them. You read in 2 Peter. I couldn't remember where it came from, and I was looking for it the other day, and I found it. In 2 Peter chapter 2, like unreasoning beasts, they don't give in not one little inch. They are cruel, they are wicked, and all they look for is what they want, and they'll kill anything and everybody that gets in their way. But Israel, he says to Israel, and we read, it was in 31 and 32. Moshe emphasizes keeping the Torah and the consequences, and Jehovah emphasizes they will, if they obey it, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be consequences to pay. But he emphasizes it. And the song of Moshe is incredible. We're going to read through this. I know sometimes it takes a little while reading, but sometimes we do a lot of talking. We got to sit there and listen to this over and over and over. 31, 32, then 33 and 34. 33 through 34 is the blessing on Israel. Yah's outstretched hand. Moshe died and Yehoshua leads them to battle and war. Everything this generation, we learned they went through all those generations all the way to Joshua, Yehoshua, and Caleb. And in Yehoshua, Moshe is going to die, and he's transferring over to leadership. And so this leadership is going to take this generation, everything that they heard, they learned, and they seen, they're fixing to step on the battlefield. Everything we've heard and we've learned and we've seen, Yeshua's not here yet, but he's coming. Rather, we die, we be raised, whether we're here right now with his coming. This is what we're learning for, because we're going to go through it. If that don't open your eyes, what's happening in Israel, I don't know what will. It's happening all over the world. We don't know how far it's going to go. But he said, pay attention. Pay attention. You have to pay attention. Abide in my rules. Do what I'm telling you. Maybe we will be spared if we listen and do what he says and be able to have reconciliation and be able to talk to somebody about Jehovah and give him the truth. Because, hey, I've never had that many likes on something about Israel on my Facebook page. Every time I say something about Israel or anything, it's crickets. But, now, boom, 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 boom. It's all over the television, all over Facebook. Real people are dying here. All of a sudden, wait a minute. And then you say the real story. It's not going to happen in America. It's going to happen in Israel's grounds over there. It's going to happen over there. And it's been talked about. And we've been grafted into Israel. That makes you and I an Israelite if that's what we follow. And we have to follow his rules. We got to follow Yeshua's rules. So that's why we find ourselves digging in the Devarim. I loved having all these Torah portions to learn. All nine of these Torah portions really helped me out, little pieces at a time. And look, it's a lot of information. But it's teaching us how to go out, how to keep our character right. And it teaches us how to come in, how to kneel before Yehovah and respect him and come in before him. There's a certain way you respect him and come before him. And that's what this Torah portion is talking about. As a blessing, he's got his hand of extension to us. I love you. I care about you. I'm trying to help you. I've given you everything I can give you. I give you Yeshua HaMashiach. I give you everything. He shed his blood. He gave you a chance to be born again, start all over again. Now you got to abide by my rules. This is my rules. If you want my safety, if you want my hand of protection, everything about you, you have to abide in my rules. You have to stay. Menno, stay in me. And just the word Yisrael, and you're looking there, I looked in the English, it seems like it would be Yeshurun, but it's Yeshurun. When you look at the Hebrew, it tells you how to pronounce it, Yeshurun. Yeshurun. Yeshurun is an upright one. And Yisrael is one who prevails and overcomes with his El. From the beginning, it's always been El with them. El is their protection. El is their strength. El is their power. Everything was El. You take El out of Yisrael, they have nothing. You take Yah out of everything, you have nothing. We're all dead. We're gone. We're empty. There's no peace. There's no life without Yehovah. He's the one who created us to be with him. And I was telling that to somebody the other day. We had a great conversation, and it was a pretty awesome conversation. It got to where everything got quiet, and we talked about it. I said, you know, it's always been from the beginning. That's what he created Adam and Eve for, to be with him. You want to be with him, but he can't be with death. He is a God of life. Kai, Yehovah Kai, Yeshua Kai, he's the God of life, he's the Elohim of life, Elohim, Kai, he's a living God, he's a living El, he's a God of life, and that's what he is, and he gives life, and he gave life to that couple, and we just read that they were one, he named them together Adam. And that was pretty incredible. I was able to share that story, and they were like, wow, I never heard that before. And I said, that's all it is. If we can just get back to Yah, he wants to have a relationship with us. Everything else fails us. We try and find entertainment. It don't last. We eat food. It don't last. You're hungry again the next day. But with Yehovah, it'll last forever. You'll be satisfied in Yehovah. That's what he created us for, to be with him. And we've been separated from him. And now we're learning how to get back to him. I had looked up those. Yeshurun was Strong's H3484. It's an upright Israelite. And Yisrael was one who overcomes and prevails with his El. And that's what Joshua, Yehoshua, and all the Israelites are going to do in chapter 1. They're fixing to take it on. Everything that they heard, everything that they learned in him, they're about to put it on. They're about to go do it. About to see what they really know and what they're made of and what they're going to believe and trust in from this point on. And they do. I think it was like 34 kings. They did some serious war and killed a lot. And they didn't lose any. Until they broke the command. The minute you break the command, you lose. He'll shield you and protect you. He doesn't lie. People say, where's God at? Where's God at? Well, you got to go back in history and look and see what was given to the enemy. I think it was in the story with, was David? It was Shaul. Yeah, it was with Shaul. And Shaul, he spared the king. And he spared certain ones. And because he spared the king, it was the Amorites. Later on down the line, those enemies are still a thorn in the side. And that's why Israel still has a thorn in the side, because you allowed the enemy. You cannot allow the enemy. The enemy has no reason with you. His main goal is kill and destroy. Where does that come from? It comes from Hasatan. Hasatan is looking for, we talked about that the other day. He's looking for somebody to use to seek, lie, kill, and destroy. And that's his whole main goal, is just to kill, steal, lie, and destroy. So I'm going to go forward a couple of chapters real quick, just a couple of verses, and then we're going to rewind. In Joshua, Yehoshua, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, it says, do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for Yehovah, your Elohim, is with you wherever you go. He wants to be with you. He wants to win all these battles with you, but we have to obey what he says. And this was them going in. Well, we're going to rewind. We're going to rewind a good ways back to Devarim chapter 31. It would be incredible to sit down and memorize all four of these chapters, but we have so many Torah portions in our feast days and Shabbats, getting a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And they went through 7 years of doing Torah portions, and we're trying to get them. It's a lot, so we're just a little bit here and a little bit there. Do you know that a little bit here and a little bit there goes a long ways? It starts sinking in. And sinking in, you start understanding and realizing who Yah is, who Israel is, and who we are in Israel. Being grafted in. And the same rules stand for us. If he would cut them off, we as a branch, the same would stand for us if we disobey his commands. We'd be cut off just as well as they would. In chapter 31, and Moshe went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. And we understand now, because of Torah portions, what going out, how to conduct yourself, and how to come in to go before Yehovah. We understand that. We read that now. We don't have to go look it up and try and figure it out. A little bit here, a little bit there. And you remember. He reminds you. And Yehovah has said to me, you do not pass over this Yardin. Yehovah Elohim himself is passing over before you. Isn't that encouraging? He's going to pass over before you. So he's 7 steps ahead of us all the days of our life. When you look into his kavod, his glory, you'll be instantly changed. Remember when Moshe was in the cleft of the rock? I was reminded of that today. You keep studying and digging in and getting close to Yehovah, looking into his glory. You'll find that shalom. When you right next into his side right there like that, like we just learned. Stay meditating day and night. Stay with him. He's ahead of you. He knows what's coming. He knows everything. He's incredible. He says, he shall destroy these nations from before you, and you possess them. Yehoshua himself is passing over before you, as Jehovah has spoken. And who's the speaker here? Yehovah. Yehovah is saying, Yehovah shall do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the sovereigns of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. And Yehovah shall give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to all the command which I have commanded you. And here it is. We just read in Yehoshua, be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for it is Yehovah Elohim who is going with you. He does not fail you nor forsake you. And Moshe called Yehoshua and said to him before the eyes of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you are going with this people to the land which Yehovah has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you are to let them inherit it. And as Yehovah is going before you, he himself is with you. He does not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be discouraged. And Moshe wrote this Torah and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah unto all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, at the appointed time, the year of release, at the festival of Sukkot. Now we know what this is. We've been learning this long enough. When we read, when all Israel comes to appear before Yehovah your Elohim, in the place which he chooses. You see how many times we're going to read this over and over and again? Read the Torah before all Israel in their hearing. It's important that you keep the Torah. Keep the Torah. Keep the Torah. Assemble the people. You know, just thinking about Israel, there was a statement that was made in this church about you are the apple of his eye. When you read the scriptures, he says Israel is the apple of his eye. So when we get grafted in to Yisrael and Yeshua HaMashiach, that's when you become the apple of his eye. Yisrael is his people. It all started from Abraham that came out from among those people. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And from Yaakov, all of Israel. That's where they come from. We're going to talk about that. Might not have time to get into it, but he blesses all the children of Israel, every tribe. He has a hand of extension towards them. In their future, what's going to happen in the future? Yehovah knows everything. Assemble the people. That's a big word right there. You got to pay attention to that one. Assemble. Everybody has to be assembled. Assemble the people, the men and the women, the little ones, and your sojourn who's within your gates, so that they hear and so that they learn to fear Yehovah Elohim and to guard to do all the words of this Torah. And their children who have not known it. We talked about that all the way to our generations today. There was a generation that went with Yehoshua, and there's a generation that's going to go with Yehoshua, with Yeshua, when he returns. There's a generation that's going to be upright and listen to his commands and be in leadership. And when he comes, he's going to split the Mount of Olives. He's going to wipe out all the enemies from Israel. He said that. That's a promise. And that was given to us in Scripture, and I believe that with my whole heart. And that's another thing we'll talk about tonight with Moshe. He was a man of Elohim, a man of Elohim. And it talked about Dawid was like a man of Elohim. And Yeshua was a man of Elohim. And it says because they followed after Yah wholeheartedly. And he knows the hearts and minds of every one of us. And he's going to keep seeking us out, seeing what we are, because he knows everything. He knows how much we lack. He knows how much we need. He knows when we need correction and discipline. He knows when to reward. He knows everything. Should hear and learn to fear Yehovah, your Elohim, as long as you live in the land you are passing over the Yarden to possess. And Yehovah said to Moshe, see, the days have drawn near for you to die. Call Yehoshua and present yourselves in the tent of appointment, so that I command him. And Moshe and Yehoshua went and presented themselves in the tent of appointment. And Yehovah appeared at the tent in a column of a cloud, and the column of a cloud stood above the door of the tent. And Yehovah said to Moshe, see, you are about to sleep with your fathers, and this people shall rise and whore after mighty ones. He's already telling them what they're going to do. He already knows. And this people shall rise and whore after the mighty ones of the foreigners of the land in the midst of which they shall enter, and forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my displeasure shall burn against them in that day, and I shall forsake them and hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed. And many evils and distresses shall come upon them. And it shall be said in that day, is it not because our Elohim is not in our midst, and that these evils have come upon us? And I shall certainly hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done. For they shall turn to other mighty ones. And now write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths so that this song is to me for a witness against the children of Israel. In times to come, we're going to need this today. He's telling us what's going to happen. There's no way I can be with you and you can be with me if you whoring against me. There's no way. I'm not going to meet you where you are. You got to come to me. You got to put those things down. You got to put away your idols. You got to quit adding and taking away. And Moshe wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he commanded Yehoshua, son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous. How many times you got to tell us that? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in what? When we got born again, we were given something. It's called the Word of Elohim. You and I carry the Word of Elohim. Why do you think everything tries to come against us? Because we carry life. We carry everlasting life. It's in us. And we have to know it to defend ourselves. We can't defend ourselves with our own words. He done said that. You don't speak what you think you should speak. You don't say what you think you should say. It's not going to help you. You have to speak my words. And that's what Yeshua did. He spoke his words. And even though he died, he was raised. And he went through all that difficulty that we deserved for us to live. We get a second chance. We got a hand of extension. And that's what it says. Vizah Habakkuk. Habakkuk is his hand of extension to us. He's given us some help. He loves us. He's trying. He says, be strong, courageous, for you are to bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I myself am with you. He loves to be with us. He loves to defend us. Amen. And it came to be when Moshe had completed writing the words of this Torah in a book until their completion, that Moshe commanded the Levites to bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah, saying, take this book of the Torah, and you shall place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah Elohim, and it shall be there for a witness against you. For I myself know your rebellion and your stiff neck. See, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against Yehovah. Then how much more after my death? I know how rebellious you are. I've been with you a long time, and I don't want to leave your side because I know how you are. He's speaking what was going to happen. He says, and how much more after my death? Assemble unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers so that I speak these words in their hearing and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them today. He calls the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth is a witness against all of us. Whenever we act rightly, we get rewarded. And when we don't act, the heavens and the earth come against us. Look around the world today. It's utter destruction. The heavens and the earth is shaking. It's going through serious birth pains and difficulties. But you know, I thought about this week. It's must needed. It has to happen. Because people sit in a luxury and they don't want to change. And we don't want to change. It's all fine and dandy as long as the birds are chirping and we're out there on the boat and we're fishing and it's a beautiful day with the weather's all nice. Then all of a sudden a bomb hits, boom, and a building blows up beside you and you watch your baby's heads get cut off. Then all of a sudden things change. Your whole countenance changes. Things have to happen for us to change. And just that little bit right there, I've never had people on my Facebook page like what we just said about we grafted into Israel. It ain't about just Christians in America, and it's going to happen in America. It says what the scriptures say is going to happen, and that's his people. And we get grafted in, that's who we are too. So when I see all the pains and things that they're going through, I'm feeling it, and I want to feel it. I'm part of them, and they're part of me. Wouldn't you like to, how would you feel if a Morris or a Rudolph, one of your loved ones, something happens to them, you there immediately to be in the hospital, or you there immediately to go care because it's part of your group that's closest to you. But Israel is the same thing. It's the same thing, if not more. And so I've been going through these things, wanting to look. I'm wanting to see. I'm wanting to learn. I'm wanting to pray. I'm part of them. That's what he said I am. That's what I am. And that's how we all should be. When he says Shabbat, you can't wait to get here. You don't even think twice about it. You can't wait to get to Shabbat. I love Shabbat. I love his feast days. It's painting the picture and it's getting in me. And I'm enjoying it and understanding what I need to fix, what I need to work on. It's getting better. It's getting better. You dispossess to possess. Because remember, you just leave just a little bit and it'll grow. And you'll be back where you was, one of those unreasoning beasts. And everything is everybody else's fault. And everything is, no, they did that. I didn't. And when you did it, you blame it on somebody else that did it. And that's a big war going on right now. On one side, one didn't do nothing. The other one did, and the other one did. And they say, well, they did it. Well, they did it. And that's all it's ever going to be. Until Yeshua returns, that's what it's going to be. Until the word is put right in place, the rules, that's what it's always going to be. Unreasoning beasts until he returns. But he's got a remnant that's going to stand up for what is right. Learn and listen and obey and do what he says. Assemble unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I speak these words at their hearing, and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you shall do very corruptly and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil shall come to you in the latter days, because you do what is evil in the eyes of Yehovah, to provoke him through the work of your hands. Your hands. So Moshe spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song till their completion. It says, give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Moshe knows how to speak. Moshe knows what's going on. Let my instruction fall as rain. What is Jehovah's word like? It's like rain. It's going to rain on us and keep us alive. This is oil for our lamps, to keep our lamps burning tonight. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Let my speech drop down as dew, as fine rain on the tender plants, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of Yehovah. Ascribe greatness to our Elohim, the rock. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. For all his ways are right ruling, an L of truth, and without unrighteousness. There's nothing wrong with his words. Righteous and straight is he. A twisted and crooked generation has corrupted itself. Their blemish, they are not his children. Do you do this to Yehovah, O foolish and unwise people? That's why he says don't mix. Do you know how mixed America is? It was done like this, we read in history, for a reason. To hide it from Manasseh in the States. But sooner or later, that's not going to last long. It can't last long. You can't stay mixed. He said to Abraham to come out from among those people. And it came out. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to have to happen. You got to come out from among those people. You can't have the wicked saying, we got God too. It's not in the scriptures. It's not possible. Who created you and established you? That's a good question. He leaves in a song. Who created you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and let him show you. Your elders and let them say to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the portion of Yehovah is his people. Jacob, his allotted inheritance. He found him in a wilderness and in a wasted, howling desert. He encompassed him. He made him understand. He watched over him as the apple of his eye. See that? Israel is the apple of his eye. And it all came through Jacob. As an eagle stirs up its nest, flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, bearing them on its pinion, Jehovah alone led him, and there was no foreign mighty one with him. None. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, and he ate the fruit of the fields. And he made him to draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest of wheat. And you drank wine and the blood of grapes. But there's that word, but Yeshurun, the upright ones, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick. You are covered with fat. So he forsook Eloah, who made him, and scorned the rock of his deliverance. They moved him to jealousy with strange matters. With abominations they provoked him. They slaughtered to demons and not Eloah. Mighty ones they did not know, new ones who came lately, which your fathers did not fear. You neglected the rock who brought you forth and forgot the El who fathered you. And Jehovah saw and despised because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. And he said, let me hide my face from them. Let me see what their end is. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no trusting. They made me jealous by what is not ill. They provoke me with their worthless matters, but I make them jealous by those who not are no people. See that? I provoked them with a foolish nation. For a fire was kindled in my wrath and burns to the bottom of Sheol and consumes the earth and its increase and sets on fire the foundations of mountains. I gather evils upon them. I use up my arrows upon them, wasted by scarcity of food. All this is like ding, 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 ding when you read this. And consumed by heat and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I send upon them. With the poison of serpents of the dust, the sword bereaves from the outside and fear from within. Both young man and maiden, nursing child with the man of gray hairs. I said I should blow them away. I should make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. If I did not fear the enemy's taunt, lest their adversaries misunderstand. Remember, Yehovah says, I don't do this because of the good you do, but because of those enemies that are against me. It's not against you they're against me. They point their finger at Yehovah. That's what they do. And even in this other story in here, it talks about on the mountain, overcome, but through the valley, Yehovah won't be able to help him through the valley. And that's why he did that. He said, through the valley, I'm going to wipe them out in the valley. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to wipe them out in the valley. Just because they said that about me. It wasn't about you. It was they said about him. It's about the God of the Israelites they don't like. Lest they say our hand is high and Yehovah has not done all this. For they are a nation lost to counsel, and there's no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this. They would consider their latter end. And this is the wise Yehovah speaking these words in Moshe. How would one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and Yehovah had given them up? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies are judges. Their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Amorah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the fierce venom of cobras. Is it not stored up with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and repayment at the time their foot slips. For near is the day of their calamity, and the matters prepared are hastening to them. For Yehovah rightly rules his people and has compassion on his servants. When he sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining, shut up or at large, and he shall say, where are their mighty ones, the rock in whom they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their slaughterings and drank the wine of their drink offerings? It's going to come to where there's no possible way, there's nothing on this earth that can possibly save anybody. It's going to have to be Elohim. It's going to have to be His miraculous power. And when Yeshua comes, that's the only way it's going to happen. When He comes and destroys the enemy, then their eyes will be open. It's Yeshua HaMashiach. He come to our rescue. He come to His bride. And that's what's going to open their eyes. It's going to get down to where it's almost there's nothing left. Destruction upon destruction, abomination of abominations. And then all of a sudden, He's going to come. And that's what we're looking forward to, for Him to come. At one point, He's like, come, Yeshua. And Yeshua's going to say that to His son one day. He's going to say, go get my bride. But until then, we have to be patient and say, Father, not our will, but that Your will be done every day. Yehovah is very patient. He's very loving. He's very kind. And He also has a point when He's had enough. So we read that through Scripture to learn about Him, how He is. That's how we learn His likes and His dislikes and how we're supposed to posture ourselves before Him. Let them arise and help you. Let it be a hiding place for you. See now that I am He and there is no Elohim beside me. I put to death and I make alive. I have wounded and I heal. And from my hand no one delivers, for I lift my hand to the heavens and shall say, as I live forever, if I have sharpened my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I shall return vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword devours flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives. From the long-haired enemy chiefs, O nations, acclaim His people, for He avenges the blood of His servants and returns vengeance to His adversaries, and shall pardon His land, His people, And Moshe came with Hoshea, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song. This is an incredible song. This is for us today. In the hearing of the people, Moshe ended speaking all these words to Israel. He said to them, set your heart on all the words which I warn you today, so that you command your children to guard to do all the words of this Torah. This chapter is full of him emphasizing, keep the words of the Torah. Keep the commands and the words and the right rules and mishpatim. Keep these. For it is not a worthless word for you, because it is what? It is your life. And by this word you prolong your days on the soil which you pass over the Yarden to possess. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe that same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, which is opposite of Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. And die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aharon your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people, because you trespassed against me in the midst of the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not set me apart in the midst of the children of Israel. So that's something to keep our eyes on and think about in our lives. For you are to look at the land before you, but not enter there, into the land which I am giving the children of Israel. And this is the blessing. This is the blessing which Moshe, the man of Elohim, and we learn in this Torah portion, there's a lot to talk about in this Torah portion we'll try and get into. Bless the children of Israel before his death. And he said, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose from Seir for them. He shone forth from Mount Paran and came with 10,000 of his set apart ones at his right hand, a law of fire for them. Indeed, he loves the peoples. All the set apart ones are in your hand. They sat down at your feet, receiving your words. And Moshe commanded us a Torah, an inheritance of the assembly of Yaakov. And he was sovereign in Yeshurun. So basically he's saying, family, this is what's going to keep you alive. This is what's going to keep you for generations to generations. If you let it go for any reason, it's going to be death to you. You won't make it. You will not make it. You have to keep all of these words that I'm telling you, I'm commanding you today, for the tribes of Israel. And that goes for the foreigner and the sojourner alike who comes in. And we also learned that through the ones that they took captive, that was a foreigner, they had to shave their hair if they was to marry one, an Israelite, and become underneath their authority and their rules, and had to let everything else go. And that's what we've basically done. We've come in to Israel, rather was blood lineage or not, this is what we know. And I'm not going to read the rest of this. I want to kind of get into some slides a little bit. But it even talked about, you know, Moshe. Moshe was still strong in his age. He wasn't weak and feeble. He wasn't sick. He was ready and ready to go. But it was just his time. When Jehovah said his time, it was time to go to sleep and pass it on to the next leadership. And now it's a new beginning. You know, the eighth day is a new beginning. So here it is, Yehoshua. It's going to be this generation. There they go. Moshe dies, and he goes to rest. And they move forward, and they're about to take on everything that they heard, they learned, and they seen in him. There we go, right there. We have Vizot HaBarakah is Hebrew for, and this is the blessing. And Barakah, Strong's H1293, means a blessing, a benefit, or blessings, which comes from the primitive word Barak. And we talked about that Barak, that can go two ways. But in this one right here, Strong's H1288, it means to abundantly bless, and literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down and show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. That's how Yehovah is, and that's how we to be. We see an image in his likeness. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's what he's done for us. And so I just skipped down a couple of slides. In other words, the head of the house has shown his hand. What a blessing. Before his death, Moshe blessed the children of Israel with these words that are contained here in this chapter. And here in verse 1, we see Moshe being referred to as Moshe, the man of Elohim. So before we finish reading, I wanted to back up just a little bit and just kind of go over just a little review, just to remember all the Torah portions leading up to here, starting with Akev. So Akev was a cause and effect we see happening today all over the world. When Yah said not to keep certain things, to destroy all of it or them, he meant it. It was a cause and effect. Re'eh, he gives us the choices. We talked about Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Blessing or curse, life or death, choose life. I remember when I first started coming to this ministry, the first time, I remember Pastor always said, he said, and you know, in school, if you was presented a multiple choice, he said, if you had a choice between life or death, he says, choose life. That's the choice you need to choose. Choose life. We need to choose life. And then we had Shoftim. And we see it throughout the scripture, Shoftim. After a certain time, he starts judging the situations. And he's judging situations right now. If you believe it or not, the Torah is for us or it is against us. And there's a cause and effect for it all. It might not happen right away, but down the line, even for generations, he says, this is going to be a thorn in your side if you do this. And today, there's utter destruction happening in certain places, and it's a judgment of Elohim. His judgment comes upon on that certain time. Can judgment sometimes be reverted? We've seen things happen in Scripture. It has. It's up to Yehovah. He judges for not keeping or adding. There is no other way he allows, so we will change. Ki taseh was how we conduct ourselves going out. And ki tavo was how we come in before Yehovah. And a lot of ki tavo, we learn there's a proper dress code and a conduct. There's a respect towards Yehovah. He requires the Shabbats, his feast days, appointed times, and a certain way to come before him. We learned in Yom Kippur, Hadana, afflict ourselves, humble ourselves before him. That's what Yom Kippur teaches us, how to become humble before him like he is before us. Netzavim, we talked about, is standing in a militaristic form, standing. And one of those, in the topics in the Torah portion of Netzavim, I wanted to highlight this one. In that week's Torah portion, the future redemption, Moshe warns of the exile and desolation of the land that will result if Israel abandons Yehovah's laws, but then he prophesies that in the end, you will return to Yehovah Elohim. If your outcast shall be at the ends of the heavens, from there will Yehovah Elohim gather you and bring you into the land which your fathers have possessed. And then another part of that same Torah portion I emphasize is the unity of Israel. Israel, you stand today, all of you, before the Yehovah, your Elohim, Yehovah your Elohim, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, and every Israelite man, your young ones, your wives, and the stranger in the gate, from your wood hewer to your water drawer. And we talked about that. And then we had Vayelech, he went. Moshe transfers leadership, and this is the way that we will all go. This is how you live each day. You are gathered into Israel under Yeshua, living in the Torah, in his house, and under his assembly. And like I said before, if we do like that foreign woman that got married to the Israelite, denounces her whole life, and we do that, we'll get to learn more and more what Israel's all about and what we've been grafted into, and you'll feel what they feel and what they're going through. You'll be going through it here as well, no matter what end of the earth you're on. Ha'ezanu was, listen up, Ha'ezanu. We learn how the song of Moshe, we just read that, is really the song of the Lamb. The greater part of the Torah reading of Ha'ezanu, listen in, consists of a 70-line song delivered by Moshe to the people of Israel on the last day of his earthly life, and has many hidden anomalies in the Hebrew. First, Moshe calls the universe to prepare as he is about to proclaim the holy name of Elohim, and he calls on heaven and earth as a witness to what he's going to prophesy. Moshe exhorts the people, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will recount it to you, your elders, and they will tell you how Elohim found them in a desert land, made them a people, and chose them as his own, and bequeathed them a bountiful land. And the song also warns against the pitfalls of plenty. The pitfalls of plenty. Everything is relaxed. Everything is joyous. It seems like everything is standing still. And all of a sudden, here it comes. It's the Father's love towards us to get us to change. And then, for 1,000 years, he's going to do it for those who still don't want to change. He still extends his mercy. For 1,000 years, just to try, hopefully, my children will turn back to me and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, the head of the house has shown his hand. What a blessing. Before his death, Moshe blessed the children of Israel with these words that are contained here in this chapter in verse 1. We see Moshe being referred to as Moshe, the man of Elohim. Devarim 33:1, and this is the blessing, and this is where it came from, which Moshe, the man of Elohim, blessed the children of Israel before his death. This title, man of Elohim, is a title that we also see being given in Scripture to the prophets. So let us take a look at some of these. So in 1 Kings 12:22, Malachim, but the word of Elohim came to Shemaiah, the man of Elohim, saying, the name Shemaiah, Strong's H8098, means heard by Yehovah, heard by Yehovah. And here we find a great lesson in how those who are heard by Yehovah can be greatly used as a true ambassador of Yehovah. When you start listening and obeying and doing what His Word says, and you become that salt and that become a light, and become a light, you become an ambassador for Yehovah. Those who hear God and do are in effect men and women of Elohim. Those who hear and God and do are men and women of Elohim. This Shemaiah was the prophet that was told by Yehovah to go and speak to Rehoboam and all the house of Yehuda with the tribe of Benjamin and tell them not to go up and fight against the house of Israel. And he had to be bold and go do that. He had to trust in Yehovah. You think our heart was pounding to come up here and talk. Can you imagine? He's going before all these people, a big sight of people. And Malachim, Aleph Malachim, 1 Kings 13:1, and see, a man of Elohim went from Yehuda to Bethel by the word of Yehovah, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. This man of Elohim went and boldly spoke up against the abominable worship that Jeroboam was performing and spoke out against the altar that Jeroboam had built and was burning incense on. He then prophesied how in generations to come that a future king called Yeshayahu, who would be born and destroy the false priests who burned incense on the false altar. This took huge courage. Of course, Jeroboam, he was mad and stretched out his hand to this man of Elohim and commanded that he be seized. As this wicked king gave these orders, his hand dried up and he could not bring it back to himself. There's Elohim, and something just happened. There goes some judgment through Yehovah on what just happened. Then he begged for the prophet to pray for his healing, which he did, and the king's hand was restored, and then he tried to bribe the man of Elohim with refreshments and gifts. Aleph Melekim, 1 Kings 17, 18, and she said to Eliyahu, "What have I to do with you, O man of Elohim? Have you come to me to bring my crookedness to be remembered and to kill my son?" The name of this prophet, Eliyah. Eliyah, Eliyah, there's a word in there, Eliyah. My El is Yah. Yah is El. So Eliyah, Eliyah means my El. Yah is my El. It was here, and you notice, all of these have names with El, with their El. Yisrael, those who prevail with their El, who overcome and prevail with their El. They keep his words, and they obey what he says, and they prevail and overcome with their El. And here's another man, Eliyahu. Eliyah, Eliyah means Yah. Yah is my El. It was here that he was told to go and speak to the wicked king of the house of Israel, Ahab. Aleph Melekim, 1 Kings 20, 28. And there came near a man of Elohim and spoke to the sovereign of Israel and said, "Thus says Jehovah," because the army, you see, Jehovah is using these people to talk to his people. "What you're doing is wrong. You have to change." And every time he would come back, he'd strike him. Boom. He struck this man. And it just kept on and on and on, trying to get him to change. And spoke to the sovereign of Israel and said, "Thus says Jehovah, because the Arameans have said, Jehovah is Elohim of the hills, but he is not Elohim of the valleys. Therefore, I shall give all this great company into your hand, and you shall know that I am Jehovah." This man of Elohim came and spoke to Ahab and told him that Jehovah would give the Arameans into their hand, not because the house of Israel was good, but because the Arameans limited Jehovah to being Elohim of the mountains only, and reckoned that if they got Israel to meet them in the valley, then they would be able to defeat them. He said, "Really? Really?" Jehovah then sent this man of Elohim to tell Ahab that the enemy of Israel would be given into their hand in order to show all nations the power of the hand of Jehovah. And when I read that, I just think about Yeshua when he returns, the great power. The great power that's going to happen. There ain't no missile. There ain't no jet. There ain't no grenades. There ain't no nothing on this earth. There ain't no nuclear bomb going to go off as much as when he returns. And every eye is going to see it, and everybody's going to know it. That's what we're told. He's going to come to take care and save his people and uphold the rule of Elohim. He's coming with rule and authority, and he's coming. And Bet Melekim, 2 Kings 4, 7, so she went and informed the man of Elohim, and he said, "Go, sell the all and pay your debt, you and your sons, and live on the rest." This man of Elohim was the prophet Elisha. Now, we say it a little different, Elisha. The name Elisha is Elisha, Elisha. You would say it Elisha. I always said Elisha, but it's Elisha, Elisha. Elisha, Strong's H477, means El is salvation. That's what his name means. El is salvation. It always exalts Jehovah, which is the contracted form of Elishua. Elishua, Strong's H474, meaning El is salvation. Doesn't it sound a little closer to Yeshua? Yehoshua? Doesn't it sound a little bit closer? El, Strong's H410, meaning mighty, strong, power, and short for mighty one. The words of Jehovah in Christianity today has been so washed down and watered, it ain't even funny. There's no more power left in it. But this is the power of going back to his original word, his original plan, and holding it. And then it's really going to come against you. But if you do what he says, you'll stand. And you stand, therefore, and be counted. Be counted, and your Elohim will see you through. Yesha, Yesha, to deliver, save, salvation. And that's what Yeshua is, Yehoshua. He is our salvation. He is our deliverance. This is the man of Elohim that received the double portion anointing and succeeded the prophet Eliyahu. And these above examples are the recorded accounts of a few faithful men. Now look, when we learn in these Torah portions, I'm telling you, it's like learning on paper how to fly an airplane or drive a boat for the first time. You get out there, look, you're not going to say them right all the time. It's going to be all over the place, but after a while, you keep on every Shabbat, every feast day, every Torah portion. After a while, you get the names right. You're going to get their understanding, and then you're going to stand bold in what it says and what it really means, and then you can apply it. And in your everyday walk in life, you can apply it. And these above examples of the recorded accounts of a few faithful men that were called the man of Elohim during the time of the various kings of Israel and Yehuda, who are able to glean valuable insight in terms of the courageous and bold character that a true man of Elohim displays as a faithful ambassador and spokesman for Yehovah. And let me tell you, you raised something up back there? Let me tell you, Yeshua is the living Torah. He's all of these in himself of Yehovah. He's all of these. These were just certain men that had certain pieces, but he read all this. He learned all this, and he became all of this. He's all of this in one package, the whole ordeal, the whole thing. These are simply a few examples we see in the text. And we also must take note that we see David, the beloved king, also being called the man of Elohim. Nehemiah 12:24, and the heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Yeshua, son of Kadmiel, with their brothers opposite them to praise, to give thanks. Watch, according to the command of David, the man of Elohim. This title, man of Elohim, is used for many of the prophets and is also used for David as well as the messenger of Yehovah. Yet what we take note of is that in the Torah, it is only used here in Devarim, and so this record of Moshe being called the man of Elohim is the only time in the Torah that anyone is called by this. We must also recognize that Moshe did not call himself this, but rather these last couple of chapters, or epilogue, was written by Yehoshua and gives Moshe this proper title. Yehoshua gives him this proper title, a title that was highly regarded as a clear, significant picture of one who followed Yehovah wholeheartedly. That's the key word right there. A man of Elohim is one who follows him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Hey, and we all have the flesh to put up with. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. It's going to be hard. But we got to keep working on it. We got to keep dispossessing. We got to keep working on it. We also see Shaul using this in his letters to Timotheus. And you know, going back, talking about the woman, the foreigner. You know, I talked about how she has a memory, like all of us. She's a human being. I'm sure throughout her life, she still had the memory of her original mother and father and the family she came from. But after living in Israel for so long and being around those people, that might have been faint memories. But what she's experiencing now, she wouldn't give up for anybody or anything anymore. Once you experience El, you don't want to go back to where it was. That life she lived, she probably didn't understand it until she started living the life of being an Israelite, even coming from a foreigner. And that's how you and I have experienced it. I don't ever want to go back to that life again. That's what she experienced. That's what we experience. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. The love of Elohim is incredible. Even when you think you're right at your lowest, or your wit's end, or you got these memories of the mistakes that you made, and you stay up with Elohim, it pales to compare. It gets you right back up and keeps you going. You don't want to quit. You don't want to stop. You endure to the end. Stay with it. Just stay with it. We also see Shaul using this in his letters to Timothy, which reveals a great deal of respect and high regard that Shaul saw in Timothy, and the qualities of a true man of Elohim reflect total dedication and commitment for which we are called to walk in as we walk in Messiah, the ultimate man of Elohim. Yeshua is the ultimate man of Elohim. He's not a God man. He's Yeshua, the man of Elohim. So in 1 Timotheus 6:11, but you, O man of Elohim, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love. You sit there and read these slow. I read these a couple times. Pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love, endurance, and meekness. And you don't start in Matthew to Revelation and try and study what these are. You go to Israel, where they got theirs from, and you read what righteousness, reverence, belief, love, endurance, and meekness is like in Jehovah. Then you come over here and read it here, then you'll see it what it really is. It's not from man's thoughts of what love and endurance and meekness is. It's from the love that Jehovah has. It's from his commands and his words that he says, do not disregard my words. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is breathed by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fitted and equipped for every good work. We're able to recognize and learn that which equips us to be fitted for every good work as a man of Elohim is the word of Elohim, the words that we carry, that we're learning and applying, which Yeshua Messiah came to reveal in the flesh as the perfect example by becoming the man of Elohim so that we can walk worthy of the calling we have received the Messiah to walk upright in a crooked world. Yeah, we in a very crooked world. And it causes us to keep practicing because it don't take much because the enemy's camp is right there. When you walk outside, whenever you're in your workplace, when you're in your family, it's just on and on and on. It's a dark world. But you will hold up because Yeshua proved you can. He did. We can too. These final words of Moshe would have certainly been very touching as he was not sick. Did I skip one? Yep. These final words of Moshe would have certainly been very touching as he was not sick but knew that his time was almost up, as he was told that he would not enter into the promised land, which led him to impart his final blessing to all the tribes of Israel. The man of Elohim who laid down his life for Jehovah's chosen people expresses the hope, and that's what Moshe did. He laid his entire life down and did what Jehovah asked him to do. He had his ups and downs, but he kept at it because he wouldn't have been called a man of Elohim if he didn't. He tried to do it with all his heart, the best he could. Expresses the hope that he has for Israel, who he knew would turn away from following the instructions of Elohim, that they would return to his words that he was instructed by Elohim to deliver. We who are returning to walk in the Torah of Elohim are finding the true blessing of walking in the truth that we had been for so long, that we had been so far from, as our forefathers had wandered from the truth by serving vain traditions that profit nothing. And we talked about that. We've been a boat that's been so way off track, we wasn't going to end up in a place we needed to be. We so far off, we had to set and drift and fix ourselves back. And I just praise Yah for opening our eyes to this. We had no clue. We were blind to this. With this blessing, we see the heart of Moshe as we come to understand in Hebrew that to bless, which literally means to bend the knee, is a powerful illustration of the deep care and concern the one who is doing the blessing has for his hearers. That's a bold statement for Moshe to say, hey, take me, wipe me out of your book. There ain't too many people would say something like that. They would kind of wait for a second for somebody else to kind of step forward. But he said that, wipe me out of your book. He said, that's not the way it goes. What's fair is fair. I'm going to take care of all of this. This is what you're going to do. We bless Jehovah as we submit to his instruction and serve him with all we have. Yet, we also see that Jehovah blesses us. How? He does so with the same joy and eagerness a loving father does, to lower himself to speak to his children and be on their level. And this is what Jehovah did when he came down to our level through his son Yeshua, Messiah, in order to take away our sins and allow us to return to him and walk in his blessing. Now, at some point, I wanted to get to Luke here, Luke chapter 22, because this touched me the other day. I wept over this when I got into this Torah portion, just thinking about his hand of extension to us, thinking about Yeshua. And Pastor mentioned it, And we got to do that for next Sukkot. Let's break bread together. And let's drink the wine together. His body that was broken. And the wine represents his blood that was shed for us. We can't forget that in the family. It says in Luke chapter 22, 14 through 32. And when the hour had come, he sat down, the 12 emissaries with him. And he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Pesach with you before my suffering. For I say to you, I shall certainly not eat of it again until it is filled in the reign of Elohim. And taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I shall certainly not drink of the fruit of the vine until the reign of Elohim comes. And taking bread, giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the renewed covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And there also took place a dispute among them as to which one of them seemed to be greater. And he said to them, the sovereigns of the nations rule over them, and those who control them are called workers of good. But not so with you, but let him who is greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater? He's the greater one. He's the one who's sitting at the table. But he said, I want to serve for you. He's the greater one. He's the Son of the living God sitting at the table. But I want to serve for you. I want to give my life for you. You likewise do the same. Serve. Serve. He says, for who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am in your midst as the one who serves. But you are those who have remained with me in my trials. And I covenant for you as my Father covenanted for me a reign to eat and drink at my table in my reign and to sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the master said, Shimon, Shimon, see, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your belief should not fail. And when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. And that's what we do in this house. We're to help each other, serve each other, and strengthen each other. Serve and strengthen each other. One of us makes a mistake, makes a fall, we pray for each other and keep praying for each other and love each other. I love you, brother. I love you. I thank you so much. You're doing an amazing job. You're incredible. I thank you, Father, for pastors, all my brothers and sisters here, everybody. Y'all doing an amazing job. Sometimes I look up at Scott and think, man, I'm falling behind sometimes because he's doing such a great job. I look up to him, you know, and then I go sit down and Jehovah says, hey, y'all all doing a great job. Y'all all on the spot where you need to be. I got you all right where I need you to be. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Sister Gloria posted something today. I liked it. It was like a beast behind a man that's going forward. It says, keep moving forward and ignore the noise. Don't listen to the noise. Don't listen to the noise. Keep moving forward. It's just words. And so I'm going to have to keep training and learning that. When I'm confronted with something, don't be afraid. It's just words. Did you give me the last card yet? Five. All right. Well, but that did something for me. That right there in this Torah portion. Let me see. Vizot Habakkuk. That's the name of it. Vizot Habakkuk. Man, I had so much more. This is probably another day's work. You just want to make sure. Man, I tell you, this is incredible. This is one last one I wanted to remind. In Proverbs chapter 21, verses 1 through 2, Let me see if I can find it in my scriptures. Proverbs 21. Now this right here, I kind of tried to quote it the other day because I thought about when all this started going down with Israel, everything happening, I'm still thinking about that scripture in Proverbs, like water in the hand that's channeled. The sovereign's heart is as channels of water in the hand of Yehovah. He turns it wherever he wishes. All a man's ways are right in his own eyes, but Yehovah weighs the hearts. He knows everything. He's in charge of everything, and there's nothing that he doesn't know that's not going on that he's not in charge of. He whispers in the ear of one's mind and triggers one thing, and it moves forward. And he could trigger something else in somebody else's mind, and it could stop. So he's in charge of everything, and nothing shifts and moves unless he allows it to. So he's the one in charge. There's nothing that's surprising to him. He knows it all. We just got to keep shifting and moving as the set apart spirit shifts and moves and tells us what to do, where to go, when to do it, and how to do it, and stay in line with all his moed, moedim, all his feast days, his appointed times. Stay in line with him, and you'll be okay. All right? So that's all I got for tonight. This should be more than enough all to keep us till Friday. In the beginning, Bereshit, Yehovah created the heavens, the Shamayim, right? So it's coming next.